You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. You're about to hear from Pastor James David Manning. I take a lot of heat and will continue to take a lot of heat for standing for what this man of God is standing for. In the message you're about to hear, and you must have ears to hear this message now, this great man of God will give you more understanding and insight into racism than anything you probably ever have heard. Few people understand how great the peril is, not just for America, but for the world, since Obama, the Muslim, Hussein Obama, is in the White House. Few people understand how great this peril is. And if there's going to be any hope for any of us, we must understand that God did not make any second-class human beings. The Muslims are taught that non-Muslims are subhuman. God did not make any second-class human being. Islam is a religion of Satan, and you now have a satanic man in the White House whose middle name is Hussein, and we must have ears to hear and understand this message if there will be any hope, and I pray to God give you ears to hear. Pastor James David Manning.
Welcome to the Manning Report. I am your host, James David Light-Skinned Negro Manning, broadcasting from the dark community called Harlem, right here in New York City. Well, the name of this community has been changed from Harlem to Atla. It means the land where the people shall walk barefoot because the land is holy ground. Well, it's cold everywhere, isn't it? No, it is. I don't know what's happening. You know what I think? Did y'all pray that wretched Al Gore would finally get exposed for the con man that he is? And all these other people, by the way, who are promoting this global warming, you know, rip off this cap and trade. Perhaps, maybe it's God. I haven't got a word on this. If I did, I'd let you know to be sure. But maybe it's the Lord God Almighty who is trying to send us a message about the long-legged Mac Daddy's cap and trade bill that he wants to put through, that we don't need it. We're in the middle of January, headed towards the long-legged Mac Daddy's dress coming up in a week or so. Now, here, let's get right to the point. No point in fooling around here today. Harry Reid made a statement. What was his statement? And I'm going to paraphrase, we've all heard it now, right? That Obama was a light-skinned African-American, or an African-American light-skinned, who did not use a Negro dialect, only if he wanted to, meaning that if he wanted to sound like a homeboy, he could. But if he wanted to sound like he was not a homeboy, then he could do that, too. At any rate, was the statement racist? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. It was a racist statement. And let me tell you, not only was the statement about calling Obama a light-skinned African-American who did not have a Negro dialect, it not only was it racist, but I want to tell you here and now, I believe that God Almighty has spoken. And I believe that he has used the powers that be and the circumstances that are before us to demonstrate that the election of Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, was indeed the most racist event in the history of America, even more so than the Civil War. And let me tell you why I mean that and why I believe that God has intervened. First of all, I believe that many of us are praying desperately for the truth to finally come in such a way that the mainstream media can't spin it or politicians can't spin it to continue to hide it. Harry Reid is a high-profile politician who did and thought and said what every white American did, thought, and said during the Obama campaign from Iowa all the way to Denver, and from Denver to Grant Park in Chicago, where he stood on November the 4th and declared his victory as U.S. president. It was a racist event by white people and black people. What white people thought and what Harry Reid said is what white people who voted for Obama thought. Oh, my God, here's a African-American. First of all, he's light-skinned, and he speaks so well. I mean, it's almost as if, why don't we make him a president? Because he's not like the rest of the black people. Exactly what they did. Exactly what they did. Exactly what they did. And was it racist? Yes! There's no doubt about it. And what Harry Reid said was racist to the core. And what 97% of black America voted for during the 2008 election was racist to the core. Again, I repeat, I do believe with every ounce of strength that is within me, that God has given us now the opportunity to demonstrate how racist the election was. It was not about competence. It was not about experience. It was not about merit. It was about racism. Light-skinned, African-American, don't look black, don't talk black, but can claim to be black, and we can vote for him because he represents the black race, but not really because he don't look black, he don't talk black, he don't act black, so we don't have to expect black from him. That's all that it was. And I kept screaming this all 2008, trying to wake everybody up. But now the truth has come out, and there's no denying it. There's no denying it. It was indeed a racist statement. Going to be going through it soup to nuts now that we have an opening, because heretofore everything I've said has been marginalized. I have been saying this, my friends, now for years, long before Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, has come along. But I can tell you now, that Harry Reid represents all of white America. They thought the exact same thing. Now, I know I'm repeating myself, but bless God, I want to repeat myself. I feel so liberated today. I feel so blessed today. I feel so finally appreciated today. I feel so finally validated today. I feel so finally that the truth has come out that I have been speaking for so long. And the white control media, the black control politics and social engineering, and white politicians cannot spin this. You can't spin this away. It is not going away. The election of Barack Hussein Obama was a racist election. It was racist because they believed that he was not like the run-of-the-mill blacks, that he was an exceptional black, that, and so as a result of it, let's vote for him because he is black, not because he's competent. Harry Reid didn't say anything about his competence, his intellect, or anything else for that matter. But it was all about the Negro, light-skinned African-American. It was racist. That this election was racist to the core. And I got news for you. It isn't going to go away. And I believe in my heart, that God has used this matter over the weekend with Harry Reid in order to be able to to show America how racist this election was. But it also points up that there's a segment of white America that is not racist. That there's a segment of white America that does not care how light-skinned you are or how well-spoken you are. They're not going to put you in office just because they've got some sort of bleeding heart to put somebody that's not competent, but put them in office not based on their competence, not based on their experience, not based on their patriotism, not based on their love for America, not based on their alignment with the Constitution, but will put them in office just because they are black. And that's what many white Americans did not do. They didn't vote for Obama just because he was black. They voted against him because they felt that he wasn't qualified. End of story. I want to shout with everybody out there today. If you've been called a racist because you didn't vote for him, Harry Reid's words are clear as the handwriting on the wall. He and all the millions of whites that did vote for Obama voted for him because he was black. It was racism. Racism and the imposition of racism upon the rest of America. We need to finally fess up. Now, the media, the black community, Obama, Harry Reid, and everybody else is trying to run away from it. But let me just share a couple of things about this. First of all, we all know now, and we have known for some time, that there's a double standard in America. There's both a public persona, there's a public view, and then there's a private view. But there definitely is a double standard. Donna Gumbo Brazil said this morning on CNN that she pulled out her birth certificate being born down in Gumbo Country, Louisiana, New Orleans. And she says that her race is indicated as Negro, and she says she is appalled by the word, that it is an offensive word, but it is a part of the culture of the time under which she was born. But that was last century, and that we moved on to something different. These are the quotations of Donna Gumbo Brazil spinning this thing and trying to protect Obama and Harry Reid and all the white races that voted for him in the 2008 election. Brazil is trying to protect them. But you know, I'd like to ask Donna Brazil a question. Since she says she is so offended by the word Negro, which is the word that Harry Reid used in describing the long-legged Mac Daddy, called him a Negro. Well, since she is so offended by that word, I want to know, why is it, Donna Gumbo Brazil, you and Harry Reid and all the rest of them, go to the annual United Negro College Fund fundraiser? I want to know why y'all participate and why you can still use the word on your letterhead when you're asking for money from white folk. You use the word Negro, and I haven't heard anybody say, let's remove the word Negro from the United Negro College Fund. Maybe you're not as appalled as you think that you are, or maybe you're just conveniently appalled when it's convenient to be so. But if it'll get some money. Here's another one, Donna. I'd like to ask you about this. I'd like to ask you why y'all got together a year ago with the NAACP, all you hypocritical black folk and racist white folk, got together with the NAACP, and y'all put out a statement that you're going to ban the N-word. Now, you know, the word Negro refers to a dark color. Black is what it does. Some other people try to come up with some other explanation to show just how big a fool they are. But it means black, Negro. That's what it means. So there's really no harm in that. But y'all got together to ban the N-word, is that right? Yeah. But I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, why is it that the oldest civil rights organization in America still has in its name the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People? Don't you want to get rid of the word colored? Didn't Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. march against the colored water fountains? Didn't he march against the colored bathrooms? Didn't he march against the colored schools? Didn't he march against all the Jim Crow that was based on color? Didn't he do that? Yeah, he did. Didn't y'all march with him? Yeah, you did. So if you march to destroy Jim Crow and the colored water fountains, why is it you still have an organization called the NAACP or the National Organization of Colored People, and you're not ready to get rid of that name yet? What it is that y'all are a bunch of hypocrites. You got a double standard. You got a double standard. You can use the word Negro anytime you want. Your preachers use it anytime they feel like it. You can use the word colored anytime you want. But now when somebody white uses it, you're ready to start a race riot. Why? Your big hypocritical self. Why? I mean, if this is not a handout from God, I don't know what is or whatever will be. This is tantamount to opening the Red Sea. That God has allowed Harry Reid to call Obama a Negro. Because that's what, we're not here. Now, listen, they got to get my take on this. But, you know, I call him a half-breed. You know, I said he wasn't black. That's what I said about him. So now here, the deal is, you can say the United Negro College Fund to help literally tens of thousands of Negro college students in Negro classrooms around Negro America, and that's fine. Write out a check, and when Pfizer Company writes out a $1 million check to help Negro college students, and they make it payable to the United Negro College Fund, I don't see anybody marching down on City Hall or marching on Washington saying we need to stop racism in Pfizer. Or when Barbara Streisand writes out $5,000 check to the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and people in the banks handle the check, and people at the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People get the check calling people colored people against the colored water fountains, highlighting the Jim Crow period, highlighting the colored bathrooms. I don't see anybody on CNN saying it's wrong for Barbara Streisand to write out a check to the National Association of Colored People. I don't see anybody saying there's anything wrong with that. But I guarantee you, if Mitch McConnell stood before the House and said, I'm going to send some money to help them colored students, the world would explode. If that man said, I'm going to send some money to help the Negro students or the colored students, the world would explode. There'd be no more America. Frederick Douglass would be raised from the dead. Harriet Tubman would start the Underground Railroad again if Mitch McConnell ever breathed the word colored or Negro. But yet, the double standard is okay. And I'm going to tell y'all why that's so. Also, I got plenty to say today. First of all, I want to thank my God, his name is Jesus, for allowing this truth to come out. Now, what we got to do now, everybody, first of all, here, let me recount. Harry Reid and all of the other white folk were thinking the same thing. Here's a light-skinned African-American that don't act like a Negro. Let's vote for him. But we can call him our first African-American president, but in reality, he don't look like an African-American. What a bunch of hypocrites! We can call him that, but Harry Reid says he don't look like it. And that's what every other white person in America, every last one, not one white person voted for Obama because of his competence. Not one white person voted for Obama because of his Christianity. Not one white person voted for Obama because he loved America. Not one. They all voted for him because he was a light-skinned Negro. That's why they voted for him. And there ain't no getting around it. And hey, everybody, don't y'all let CNN, don't y'all let Donna Gumbo Brazil and Roland Clark Gable Martin spin this thing to the point and try to make it a nut effect. Don't y'all do it. Don't let them get away with it. Now, they lied. They called you Americans that did not vote for Obama. You didn't care if he was black chartreuse. You didn't think he was ready. You didn't think he loved America. Most of y'all thought he was Muslim. The rest of y'all thought he was a freak, and you were right. So you didn't vote for him. Not one. Not you didn't vote for him. You were right. But now don't, y'all got to stand up now. Don't let this thing get away. Go grab all your friends that voted for Obama and say, what about this light-skinned Negro over here? What about him? If the leader of the Senate has referred to Obama as a light-skinned Negro, what about that, all you people that voted for him, white people? My friends, this is a blessing from God. This is a blessing from Almighty God. Justice. This is a judgment of God. God judgment. And watch Roland Clark Gable Martin lie through his teeth. Watch him lie like a crow's tie. I guarantee you, if Mitch McConnell stands up and calls Obama a light-skinned Negro, the world will explode. This is just a blessing from the Lord, and we give God the praise. Thank God that this is finally. I'm not through with this. I got a whole lot more to say. Obama, he can't run from this. He tried to close the book on it, but he can't close this book. He's not going to be able to do this, and the media is not going to be able to do it either. It also needs to be clear that black people use the term Negro all the time, and it's only when white folk use it are they considered racist, which is a double standard use of the word. We need to understand exactly what is going on in this entire matter. What we have here is a nation of people, 30 million strong, African Americans, blacks or Negroes or whatever you're going to call them, who are in the most wretched state of being. And what I pray that you and I will be able to do is to force the issue, to look at why is it that black people are so terribly sensitive to labels given to them. I mean, they fly off the handle at every label given to them. And really the word Negro in a double standard is not a bad word, and in a single true standard is not a bad word. But if a black person don't want you to use it, and you white, you are now taboo, or you're now some evil devil. What we're going to have to look at now, and I believe that the door has been opened, is that the wretched state of black America is beyond repair through language, through politics, or anything else. And that until we're willing to admit that, you're going to continue to have a group of people who are dwindling, by the way, in population number and strength in America, but a number of people who really cannot measure up to what it is to be an American, what it is to be a Westerner, what it is to be a person of European descent, or what it is to be a person of white Anglo-Saxon descent. You're looking at a group of people, black people, who have not in 400 years found the strength or the ability to measure up to what is normal, everyday demonstration of civility, social ability of white people. And that, my friends, is the problem. That is the problem. And so it was out of that sense that many blacks thought that Obama would represent for them that they have arrived by making him the president. For surely, if he can do what only white men have been able to do, then that must mean that all black people can do what Anglo-Saxon white people have been able to do. But that was not true. And more specifically, it could not be true. And it wasn't done by black people, but it was done by white people, which made it a ball of confusion. Let me repeat myself. You're looking at a group of people, black, Negro, colored, African American, whatever you want to call them, who are in a wretched state of just unable to measure up, reach the threshold, reach equality, a par with the Anglo-Saxon, European descent, white descent, Caucasian person. Black people, 400 years of trying, have not been able to do it, have not been able as a monolithic group accomplish that. So here comes a light-skinned Negro who looks like he's white, who speaks like white, and he's even got a white mama, but you can call him a black man. So here's what black people said. Well, he can represent us, for surely if he can do what most white men, all white men, and only white men have ever done, if he can do that, then that must mean all the rest of us are equally qualified to be able to do what white men have done. Well, first of all, we're looking at the wrong measuring rod by looking at the presidency as the stepping stone or the demarcation, meaning that black people have now arrived is the wrong view. You're looking in the totally in the wrong direction. You shouldn't be looking at the highest office of the land, but you should be looking at the Word of God, and you should be looking at what is going on, black people in general and white people who want to help, simply by making a white man, a black man, a superficial champion does not automatically, miraculously make all black folk presidential timber. It doesn't happen. Doesn't do it for white folk either. So it was the wrong thing. It was the wrong thing. More specifically, it led black people to thinking that if they could get a black president, then it means that they have finally, after 400 years, reached a point where they are equal with white people. And that's what they voted for. They voted not for Obama. They voted for final equality, final recognition. My complaint about that was that if that's what you're going to do, then get what can be as traditionally a purebred black man as possible. Don't get one who's got a white floozy 16-year-old mama. And they tore me to shreds for saying that. But here, what they were trying to accomplish by saying if one black man can make it to the highest office or the office only held by white men, then it ought to represent that all of us have now reached par. Of course, that would never be true. It doesn't happen that way. And it never will happen that way. It doesn't happen that way for white folk. But if you're going to do that, if you're going to try to engender hope, then get somebody. Don't get a light-skinned Negro who acts white. Because that's exactly what Harry Reid said. Harry Reid said, here's a light-skinned Negro who acts white. He don't act black unless he just wants to, but he acts white. And I'm saying to black folk, this man don't act black. He's not black. And Harry Reid said it. God knows he said it, church people. God knows Harry Reid said this man don't act black. And that's what I said. I said all last year, Obama ain't black. He don't act black. He don't have no black experience, and his mama was a 16-year-old white floozy. And Harry Reid has said the same thing. Here's a light-skinned Negro who don't act black. Listen, it's quite complicated. I pray that you're able to follow me. But here's what white people said. Let's vote for him, though, because we cannot say this is what black folk have done. But here, look out across black America. Has the election of Obama helped black folk in any way whatsoever? The answer is a resounding no. It was just a racist election, racist to the core, evil, full of the devil. And I'll say this to you, the white folk that didn't vote for Obama, those are the Americans that you can trust. Now, they're going to tell you the truth. They're not going to be empathetic towards you. They're not going to give you affirmative action, white folk that didn't vote for Obama. They're not going to give you affirmative action. They're not going to feel sorry for you. You're in America. You need to get up and make the best out of America. Here's a man, Gilbert Arenas, making $147,000 a day playing basketball, $100 million contract, brought four guns to the locker room. What kind of nonsense is that? Gilbert Arenas making more money than Obama made. So the white man, white populace that didn't vote for Obama are the ones that America need to trust for the next 100 years. And all those that voted for Obama need to go to rehab. All those white people that voted for Obama, you are sick. You are racially sick. You are demented. You're full of bigotry, bias, perversion. You need to go to rehab if you voted for Obama and you're white. You need to go to rehab. And those that are white and did not vote for Obama, you need to understand. Now, they're not going to give you pity and just give you food stamps and give you what you ought to get for yourself. They're not going to do that. And just because they refused to let you beg all day long doesn't mean they hate you. It means that they love you. It means that they believe that you can do better. You don't have to beg. God didn't make us a beggar. God didn't put us on the earth and say, now beg from the man who's got. And whites who did not vote for Obama will make that clear. But they can be trusted. They'll tell you the truth, and the chips will fall where they may. What we've got is that we've allowed these white races, these perverted white races that need to go to rehab to take control of the media, in many ways, take control of the politics of the House, of the Senate, and take control of the universities, the political correctness dialogue. And you think that that is the way, but these people need to go to rehab. Harry Reid needs to go to rehab. Nancy Pelosi needs to go to rehab. I mean, they are perverted whites, full of racism, full of bigotry, full of loathing, and full of an air of superiority, thinking that they're better. So therefore, we gotta level the playing field for the Negro, for the colored person. By the way, I told you, black folk don't have a problem saying the United Negro College Fund and the NAACP, the National Association of Jim Crow Colored People, they still use that to beg money and hold major rallies and spend millions of dollars on chicken wings and Johnny Walker scotch in the finest hotels when they hold their annual conventions. But then you got the League of Negro Women, too. And they use the word Negro like it's all right. Yet if Mitch McConnell used it, let Bill O'Reilly use the word Negro. That'll be the end of him. No doubt about it. But they can send you a letter and beg you for money, saying they're Negroes and we want money. We're part of the United Negro College Fund. We want money from you, white man. We're part of the Association of Colored People. We want money from you, white man. But don't you call us colored. But you can write out the check. You can call us colored when you write out the check. But don't call us colored on television. You can call us colored when you write the check. But don't you call us colored otherwise. What a bunch of hypocrites. You need to go to rehab, white man. You need to go to rehab. You are perverted. You are sick. And I pray to God. And by the way, here, I believe God done open up this conversation. I believe God done open up this door. And y'all can't shut it. That old Roland wannabe Clark Gable Martin and Donna Gumbo Brazier. You can't shut this conversation down. God done open this one up. Your gumbo-eating self and your wannabe Clark Gable self. Look at you. Look at you. You're black and you want to be white. That's what you are. That's why you're scared of being called black. If you're black and you don't mind being black, then let me call me Negro. Call me black. I don't care. But if you want to be white, then you get a who called me black? Who that called me black? I want to take them before the courts. Yeah, that's right. You see, my friends, the reason why they don't want to be called that is because they want to be white. You need to go to rehab. I think that this has finally laid the groundwork now. And I don't know whether white America recognizes your vindication that did not vote for Obama, but you've been vindicated. You've been validated. You've been vindicated. And, of course, you know, the mainstream media, the dunghead media, they're not going to tell you this. But you got to know it within yourself. And I think it's absolutely clear. It is absolutely clear that this matter has been now been brought to the front to show that this election was the most racist event in America, even more racist than slavery itself. This event was. First of all, population is much larger than it was then. The event could never been clearer. This was a civil war without any bullets being fired. But there was a whole lot of death and destruction with the voting before Obama over the matter of race. It included more people. It was more worldwide than was the Civil War. So, my friends, I feel very much vindicated here today. But I think that today I want to look at whether or not America was ready for a black president. I want to discuss that at length. I want to also continue to picking up on the theme of racial empathy that has been so pervasive among whites that need to go to rehab. And then we need to also look at the subject matter of political correctness. Now, we're going to try to cover all these themes, and we want to then discuss whether Harry Reid should resign, as did Trent Lott. We're going to try to discover that and want to look at some of the things that Michael Steele has had to say. So we got a lot we want to try to cover today, but there's a whole lot that I believe that we can glean from this. I'm praising God Almighty that he has allowed this to happen. And then the other thing we want to look at is whether or not most black politicians are ready to agree with this, that is racist as well. But Harry Reid is so integral to Obama that they may be looking the other way. We're going to cover all of that. Oh, thank God, thank God. I'll tell you, you wait on the Lord, my brothers and my sister. Wait on Jesus. Wait on him. In this matter, and I got news for you. Harry Reid, not the only one saying something in private about the light-skinned Negro that don't act like one, which implies that if he did act like a Negro, then we ain't going to vote for him because he act too much like a Negro. But this one don't act like a Negro. And Obama doesn't act like a Negro. He doesn't. Obama don't act like no Negro. He Harry said he don't even talk like one. Good God Almighty. I tried to tell America all along, especially black folk. I said, listen, if y'all going to get a black president, go get a black president. Go get Alan Keyes. Alan got a real nice way of talking too, but we'll accept Alan. Lord have mercy. What a great day this has been. I'm giving God the praise. The clowns have come in and are doing their thing, and I am so delighted. Now, listen, I want to join with Michael Steele and the chorus of Americans calling for Harry the racist Reed to step down and do it immediately. Step down, Harry. It's all over with. You have revealed the tip of the iceberg of what white America really feels about Obama. Step down. But can I talk to the rest of you now about how hypocritical and how wretched black people are? And let me tell you what I mean by that. If this was Mitch McConnell or Bill O'Reilly saying those words, they'd have to move to Hottentot Africa. There'd be no place in America where either one of them would be safe or could live. The man wouldn't sell them gas. The power company wouldn't allow them to have power. Cell phone would cut them off. They would have no services if Bill O'Reilly or Mitch McConnell used the word light-skinned Negro that doesn't act like a Negro. Because black folk would be up in arms marching until they wore out their shoes. Tom McCann would have to come back in business again to get black people's shoes. They'd march like they've never marched before if someone else had made these statements. Now, let me say this as well. I want you to carefully consider just how wretched, how hypocritical, how unintegral black leadership and black people are. Here's the deal. Harry Reid is important to Obama's health care bill and all of the other bills that Obama's trying to get through before Harry Reid's re-election this year out in Nevada. For Harry Reid to step down would cause an earthquake on Obama's agenda in terms of health care reform, cap and trade, and just a general run-of-the-mill of his policies in Afghanistan, Iraq, his policies regarding how to handle Guantanamo Bay and terrorism. And so Obama has quickly swallowed what Harry Reid said as an insult against him because he'd rather have Harry help him get his policies passed. But black America, Al Sharpton's going to swallow it. Jesse Jackson's going to swallow it. I told you, Roland Clark Gable, wannabe Martin, Donald Gumbo, Brazil, and all black leaders, all of them, there will not be one black leader that's going to condemn Harry Reid, because here's what black people do. Black people ain't got no honor. They don't have no honor. No honor. No honor. Black people ain't hardly got no honor. They will allow Harry Reid to call Obama a skinflint as long as they can get the money. As long as he'll support Obama's health care reform bill, he can call him a light-skinned Negro. He can call him a chimpanzee. They don't care. Black people ain't got no honor, people. Black people, they got no honor. If they had honor, if they had integrity, Al Sharpton, Tom Jana, and all the rest will be calling for Harry Reid's head on a platter. They don't care as long as they can get them checks. As long as them checks are continuing to be written by the Democratic Party and you can cover the long-legged Mac Daddy diaperless behind, black people don't care what you call. You can call a nigger if you want. Black people don't got no honor, people. They will sell themselves. They will sell their integrity for 30 pieces of silver. And that's how it is. You see? Watch them. There will not be one black leader that will come out and say Reid was wrong. Not one. Because they realize the checks will stop. You see? They realize that the donations will stop if they identify Harry Reid as the racist that he is. But he is. But not only do I call for Harry Reid to step down, I'm calling for all Americans. I'm calling for all Americans to erase the fact or the statement that Obama, Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, was the first black or African-American president. he may be the first light-skinned Negro, but he's not the first African-American president. And we need to make that clear. We need to make that clear, and we need to keep fighting for that. And I'm going to fight for it. Now, history will not record the long-legged Mac Daddy as the first African-American, the first black president, because he's not. But my friends, can you see? Now, I want you to watch the television and watch the newspaper articles and watch the commentary, watch Juan Williams and watch all black people. They ain't got no honor. People of the Lord, people of America, people of the world, black people don't have any honor. I don't care how many millions or billions or trillions Harry Reid can deliver to Obama. Is it worth your integrity as a cultural group to cover his behind just so you can get the money still? Your honor ought to say no, black man. Sharpton, Tom Joyner, honor ought to say to you, this is wrong, because God knows you'd be saying it was wrong if it was Trent Lott. God knows you'd be saying it was wrong if it was Mitch McConnell. God knows you'd be saying it was wrong. You see, you don't have any honor. And it'll be something if just one or two black people will stick it up for Harry Reid. But black people don't know what it is to have honor. Black people are as bereft of honor as snowflakes in hell. I'm telling you, they don't even know what it is. They got no honor. You deal with them. You try to talk to them. And one of the reasons why they have not raised themselves beyond where they are is because you have to be a person of somewhat integrity. You have to have some muscle of honor. Black people don't have it. Look at what they're doing now. Look at how they're covering Obama's diaperless behind and saying Harry is okay. What he said may be a little misguided, but Harry is okay with us. Look at what Harry's done for us. Harry is a civil rights. Harry is okay with us. What a light-skinned day in America. What a light-skinned day we are facing. What is our world coming to? Friends, we have got to absolutely positively. You got to stop the media from spinning this and turning it into what they want it to be. This is all about the truth. But you know, black people, at least they have some deduction and analytical skills. They do understand a little bit about something. They understand this, that Harry Reid, this is no news to them. What Harry Reid has said, and by the way, he didn't just say it yesterday. He said it back in 2007. So this is not news to black folk. Black folk know that's why they voted for Obama. They didn't vote for him because of his competence. They didn't vote for Obama because of his experience. They voted for him because they wanted to get back black. And that's all it was. It's about racism. It was about racism. I would rather have my dignity and not see my bills passed. I believe that if Obama had any dignity about him and honor about him, he would step before the microphones and the cameras of the world if he had any dignity, which he doesn't. How could he have any? His mama was a 16-year-old floozy, and his daddy was a in-heat African running after the first cheap, white, trashy woman he could find when he got to America. So how could he have any integrity? How could he? And by the way, the term white trash, can we talk about that? Can we say a word here and now about that? You know, I use that word publicly, and there were some white folk who don't like Obama, didn't vote for him. But, you know, they thought that I didn't have the right to say that. They thought that I did not have the authority to call anybody white trash. They can call them trash if they want. For instance, if Bill Clinton wants to call Paula Jones trash, no problem. No problem. If James Carville, political pundit par excellence, wants to call Paula Jones white trailer trash, no problem. No problem. Yeah, she was trash trying to bring down the president. Lying on the president, that sack of white trailer trash called Paula Jones. Yeah, CNN carried it, let Larry King interviewed, all of them. Oh, they just talked about it. Washington Post thought it was a good thing. But now when I called Obama's mama white trash, and she was, a number of white folk felt that I didn't have the authority to do that. Yeah, we just want to be clear about what we can be clear about. Now, we want to be clear about what we can be clear about. Since we're talking about racism, ethnic problems, cultural, Let's get it all out. Let's get it all out. Obama doesn't have any honor. How could he? He didn't get any from his mama, didn't get any from his daddy. Where's he going to get it? Because if he did have honor, here's what Obama would say. If he was a man of honor, if he was a man of integrity, here's what he would say. Harry, you got to go. You got to go, Harry. Harry, pack your bags. I want you out of there, and I want you out now. Harry would say, but I hold the key to your health care reform program. And Obama's integrity would say, well, I hold the key to the integrity of black people in America. And I can't let you just abuse black people simply because you can deliver to me votes. You got to go, Harry. But Obama's not going to say that. He ain't going to say that. Obama, because he ain't. It takes integrity. It takes character. You got to be a man to stand up like that. And Obama ain't got none of that in him. And these black leaders, Tom Joyner, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Roland Wannabe, Clark Gable, Martin, they don't have no integrity. They going to lick Harry Reid behind. Harry's okay with us. Harry's always been okay with us. Let him say it again. Say it again, Harry. Play it again, Harry. Play it again. Well, it really is something. I thought that you would be interested to know that. That black people don't have any honor. No, they don't. And that's why they're in the wretched state of being that they're in. They are a wretched people. I mean a wretched people. A wretched people, black people. Wretched through and through. And refuse to insist on honor. If they had any honor, they never would have voted for Obama in the first place. But when you ain't got no honor, you bite the hand that feeds you, and you whore when anybody that comes down the road. And black people left the Clintons and ran a whoring after Obama. No honor, no integrity, no virtue, none whatsoever. So, my friends, I am calling for Harry Reid's resignation. I'm calling for Obama's trial on treason. And going to stay right here until we get it. Going to stay right here until we get it. And I think that the class of 2008 politicians ought to repent for their behavior in this entire fiasco of this racist election that has almost destroyed our nation here. White America in a major way and black Americans in conjunction have put all of our lives at jeopardy. We're not safe as a nation now. 7 CIA agents were killed in Afghanistan because we have a racial president, not an experienced one, not an integral one, not an honorable one, not a constitutionally mandated one. We've got a racial president, not a constitutionally mandated one. We've got a racially mandated president. It was a racial mandate that put this long-legged Mac Daddy with his half-breed self in the office. But not only that, 14 soldiers down in Fort Hood have killed Abdullah Murtala, like Don Lemon on CNN, Tony Harris too. But we have a racially mandated that has put our nation at risk, put our lives at risk, and put our way of life and our future at risk. We may lose everything that America stood for. We could very possibly, first of all, lose our lives. But all of the heritage of this nation is now at risk because people, bigoted white people, put in a racially mandated president who is now systematically destroying our future. Our lives are at stake. Get on an airplane. Get on a train. Our lives are at stake because we don't have an integral, constitutionally mandated president. We've got a racially mandated one. And all people that participated need to repent. And my friends, we need to pray that strength will come to get this man out of the White House. And by the way, you know, I think you need to hear something here. You need to hear that this business of politically correct language is more diabolical than the bombs dropped over Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We got to go back to calling a spade. Not only that, we've got to go back to identifying the hypocrisy that's in our media, in our political spectrum. We got to go back and identify it. We cannot allow it to continue at the level. This political correctness is killing us. You got a racially mandated president that will not say the word terror. You got a racially mandated president that thinks that Muslims are all peaceful people. You got a racially mandated president that's putting the lives of our service personnel in jeopardy, grave jeopardy, every day, because he does not recognize, nor does he plan to recognize, the sovereignty of this nation, because he's racially mandated and not constitutionally mandated. And we got to holler loud and spare nobody until we can get justice back on the right track in this nation. I'm delighted. I am ebullient with joy that God has allowed this matter to be brought forward. Now we got to move forward and pick up the ball from here. Harry Reid, you need to resign. Black people ain't got no honor. Shut them down. I told y'all not to watch the basketball games. Don't do it. Shut down black people, the collard green revolt, and then we need to move against Columbia University. But black people ain't got no honor, people. Black people don't have no honor. They ain't got no honor. They'll allow you to call them anything as long as you write them a check. You can call them Negro all day long if you're writing checks with Negro on it. You can call them Negro all day long if you're writing checks. You can call them colored all day long if you're writing checks. You can call them Negro, colored, light skin, jigaboo, and everybody else as long as they're getting some money for it. Not getting any growth. Obama, if he had one scintilla of honor, he's standing up and say, Harry, you got to go. But you know what he said? Harry's all right with me. Oh, I understand. I understand. You understand, huh? You understand. Oh, yeah. It's very interesting. Very, very interesting. Is he a real Negro or not? Harry said he's not. Or he don't act like one. You know, the word for actor is hypocrite. You know, the Greek word actor is hypocrite. And so Harry Reid says Obama don't act like a Negro. Oh, this is so interesting. But I think it's such a blessing as well. Go ahead, Harry, write out the checks to all them black folk. Write out the check to Tom Joyner. Write out the check to Roland Martin. Write out the check to Clark Gable, Roland Martin. Write it out to Donna Gumbel. Write it out to Juan Williams. They'll sell you their children. In fact, you know, it was the black leaders over there in Africa that sold their children to the white man when he came with the slave ships. 20 white men on a great big 150-foot slave ship came with some money in his hand, some beads and some mirrors, and asked the black chief, how many children can you sell me? How many children you got over here you can sell me? And the chief said, we can sell them all to you. Brought 4,000 or 5,000 down to the shore that day. The white slave trade man said, I can only take 300, but I'll be back in about 6 months to pick up the rest. He said, well, so black folk will sell their children if you just bring them. And what black leaders are doing now, what Al Sharpton and Tom Joyner are doing now with this Harry Reid, is what they did on the shores of Africa many years ago. They are selling their integrity, is exactly what they're doing. But I consider today a great day, in as much as that we've been able to have Almighty God, and I believe He's brought this day to be. For I stated for 2 years now, first of all, Obama's not the first African-American president. He is not. And I remember some people came to me from TV1 and jumped all over me because I said black people don't have any honor. But this whole issue of race and political correctness has just destroyed the opportunity for growth. Somebody needs to stand up and tell black people that they've got a God problem, and black people do. There's nobody who's worked as hard as I have worked within the black community to try to bring the truth, but it's continued rejection. But also people need to tell white folk the truth as well. This dialogue needs to be opened up for truth on both sides. White people that voted for Obama are pretty much of the mindset of Harry Reid. It was a racist, bigoted event. There is no way anybody white could have gotten anywhere near the primary with the kind of hate-filled America associates that Obama had and still does have. And Jeremiah Wright, Tony Resco, William Ayers, and Khalid Al-Mansour, and a host of others as well. If you were white, you would, rather than running for president, you'd been running for your life. There's no way. This was America's worst moment. The election of 2008 was America's worst moment. It was America's worst year that this took place. It was America's worst time. And it was for black people the worst time that white people allowed themselves to have such a sense of superiority and condescending that they felt that they could give this alleged black man the presidency out of a sense of their own guilt for the struggles and the ineptness and the failure of black people to reach par and threshold with all other Anglo-Saxons or whites or European or Westerners, if you will. 2008 was America's worst year. She's never known a year as bad as 2008, both economically, spiritually, racially, and politically. It was an awful year. And even now, many don't want to face the truth. But I'm telling you now that the white folk that voted for Obama, that they really need to go to rehab. They really do. Because they're going to fight with everything that's within them to try to defend Harry Reid. They're going to fight with everything that's within them to try to defend their decisions and refuse to acknowledge what their true and real motives were. Black people have had need for rehab for quite some time. There's been no doubt about that, and everybody knows it, that they are most assuredly in a wretched state of being. And I can tell you now that until we start speaking the truth one towards the other, we can't have a public opinion and a private opinion about each other as brothers and sisters here in America. We're going to have one opinion. We're going to have one dialogue. We're going to have one race, if you will, in terms of our being Americans. We can't be African Americans. And, you know, that's the thing that the long-legged Mac Daddy said that caught y'all's attention. We're not going to have red states. We're not going to have blue states of America. We're not going to have red states of America. We're just going to have the United States of America. That caught y'all's attention. It was a lie. He had no intention of ever fulfilling that. And that, you know, it has become very clear as well that I have been validated and vindicated on many of the things that I've said about Obama, that people jumped all over me and crucified me for making the statements that I made about him. But my friends, the half was not told about this wretched person called Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama. First of all, he's not a Christian. Well, first of all, he's not black. That's the first thing. Second, he's not a Christian. And third, he is a Muslim. There's no doubt about it. But America, because of her racist way of being, went ahead and voted for him. And I've also stated that the people who got called racist were the true Americans who did not vote for Obama. But I believe that at least there is a sense of vindication. If not, then America would just go on to hell in a handbasket. But I'm going to do everything I can to stop it. I'm going to speak the truth. Whether it's to white people or black people, I'm going to speak the truth because only the truth will make us free. And black people need to hear the truth. White people won't tell it and black people won't tell it. And so, therefore, the suffering continues and intensifies. And we're going to have to tell the truth about white folk as well. Truth got to be told about the bigotry and about the abdication of the love for God and the Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed this nation. Got to tell the truth on both sides of the aisle. And my friends, in doing so, we can finally be free. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And if this nation is ever going to be a free nation, everybody's talking about the fact that there have been racial problems and the racial problems are intensifying. I scream to the top of my voice that electing an alleged black president was not going to help America. It was not going to make America better. And my friends, you can look and you can say, well, he's only been in office for 1 year. Give him a little time and it'll make things better. But I can say this to you. You can use that excuse if you like, because voting in an alleged black president did not make America better. It is so insulting to this beautiful land to call yourself an African-American. It is such an insult. That's worse than the N-word as far as I'm concerned. The government bailout money was not, when it was written, to reach the inner city. What it was written to reach the banks and the major corporations that were allegedly too big to fail. That money went to them to stabilize them. It had no earmarks whatsoever for the rank and file person living week to week, salary, paycheck to paycheck. And thusly, it has not been seen nor felt. Now they're talking about a new job creations program to be able to reach the rank and file. But that initial bailout had nothing to do with reaching the community. People just were not aware of it. Well, you know, we've got to work as feverishly as we can to wake people up, to the fact that this man is an Islamic plant, that he understands the political strength of economic implosion of this nation, and at that point, Muslim Sharia law does become the order of the day, and we just got to wake people up. We've got to let people know how dangerous this man is, not to be taken lightly. I'm working as hard as I possibly can, double time, to get him out of that office. He's got to go. And I know we're going to succeed. This matter of Harry Reid's statement regarding the long-legged Mac Daddy, that he was a light-skinned African-American without a Negro dialect. Now, what Harry was expressing was that Obama did not act like a Negro, that he didn't talk like one, didn't walk like one. We had an elder in our church. His name was Paul Graham. But he used to say, if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, guess what? It's a duck. But Harry Reid is saying Obama doesn't walk like, doesn't talk like, doesn't quack like a Negro. So therefore, maybe he's not, unless he just wants to be. Let me express a couple of things. One is that I want to thank God that this day has come. I have for more than 2 years now, or right at 2 years, been warning America about Obama in particular, but I've been talking to Black America now for more than a decade about the decadence, about the wretchedness, about the absence of integrity and honor in our group, in our community. And I pointed out what has been the end result of it: rampant and runaway imprisonment, rampant and runaway single-parent families, rampant and runaway, if you will, crime, drug use, failing schools, because of the absence of honor and integrity, more specifically, the absence of the understanding of God in our lives. And I've been pointing that out. And to some degree, Black people have considered me the worst. They've considered me worse than George Wallace, if you will, in his day when he says segregation today, segregation forever. But I've continued, and I've been supported by a faithful group of people, and I've relentlessly spoken. America was not in 2008, nor at present, ready for a Black man as president. And let me tell you why. Generally, the office of president, whether it's in this nation or whether it's just of some class in a college, is awarded to someone who comes from and can represent the people in a way that is the best of what they have to offer. And to have a person from the African-American people who are still struggling with so many different problems that are just so pervasive smacks in the face of that particular truth. And more specifically, for the race of people themselves to not be ready to demonstrate that they're even ready to be full-blooded Americans. Now, please listen to me now. Please listen to me. There is such an animus, and there's such a diversity and diversion among Black people who are not really ready to call themselves Americans. I mean, when you hear the preachings of Jeremiah Wright that Black people love, they love him and hate me. When you hear the preachings of Jeremiah Wright who says, you know, GD America, they love that because they hate the nation for the most part. And even some of the Black Americans you see in influential positions smiling and grinning, they've got their public persona of America if it makes them money. Then they've got their private in the hood persona of America to keep them cemented with the Black community. So when you consider the fact that there is runaway, rampant hatred in the Black race for America, why choose one of them to be the president of the nation when there's so much hatred in the group? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. Why choose someone from a group that hates the nation and make them the president of it and think that's going to somehow or another call the people to love America? Now, listen to me carefully, America. Listen to me carefully. Michelle, the fist bumper Obama, said on the campaign trail in 2008 that the very fact that her husband had gotten as far as he had gotten was the first day in her 40 years of living that she ever appreciated this nation. Come on, people, let's talk. Let's talk. Now, let's talk. She said this publicly. And they had her on The View with Joy Behar and Barbara Walters and Whoopi Goldberg. And they praised her for making such a statement. Here's a woman who's saying, I don't like this nation. I've never admired it. I don't think anything of it. Then why do you want to have her as the first lady of the nation? I don't understand that. I don't understand it. I don't understand it, people. If that wasn't enough, Jeremiah Wright, where Michelle the Fist Bumper and Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, sat for 20 years, said GD America, and in every sermon he preached was destroying America and white folk. Why would you want to pull somebody out of church like that and make them the president of America? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I don't understand why would you pull somebody that hates you and make them your leader? Why would you have somebody who wants to destroy you, who have cursed you up and down, backwards and forward, coming and going, and you crazy enough to say, we want you to be our leader. We want you to be our commander-in-chief. I don't understand that. I don't understand it. 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 And so America is not ready and should never be ready to have anybody as her leader that hates the Constitution, that hates God's blessing upon the nation, that hates the people who are patriots of the nation. Why would you want that person to be president? Why? Why? I understand this. I understand that there are people that hate America the same way Obama hates America, and they're not all black. There are some white ones that hate as deep, as long, and strong as Obama hates America. They, hey, Tony William S., hey, Tony Resco. Hey, Bernadine Dorn. Hey, they hate America the same way Obama hates. So there are plenty of white folk out there that hate America, too. I understand that's why they voted for Obama. I understand that. I'm not without understanding of that. I'm just saying that we're going to have the truth. And truth is the only thing that's going to set us free. We also need to get the race discussion out in the open. We got to take it away from CNN, Fox News, ABC, CBS, Columbia University, Yale and Harvard. They don't know nothing about it. And you got to take it away from black folk that hate America because they ain't going to never come up with the truth. And you got to take it away from white folk that are in entertainment and movies and let them control the dialogue. I'm thankful to God I can see on the horizon now not only a nation where black people will no longer hate America, but will love this nation, will stand shoulder to shoulder with all other Americans, will stop calling themselves African America. I can see it on the horizon. It's going to be some more work. We got more work to do, no doubt about it. Oh, no doubt about it. And let me tell you why I think it's so close now. Because I think most black people are now looked up and have said that even with a black president, it has not made us a better black people. We need to look for another. We need to turn to the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. And by the way, you know, I've gotten a few phone calls, not a lot. I'm not going to try to deceive you, but I've gotten a few phone calls of people who hated me last year and the year before. They hated me for everything they could hate me. And they've now realized that I was right. I was right all along about Obama. And they've called me and told me. And I'm praising God. Now, not a lot of people. Not, I mean, you know, call. But I mean, that's a start. That's a start. That's a start. We're going to be one people. We're going to have one voice. We're going to be so powerful as one after this Obama fiasco. I see as well that the black people who are suffering so miserably, and there's so much pain and going on in the neighborhoods, I see that being moved. Because a large part of the reason why God hadn't let the black man progress is because he hates what God has blessed. God has blessed America. The black man got to stop cursing out America, got to stop cursing out Jews, got to stop cursing out the Constitution. You got to stop that. And then God will let you eat from the great American pie. And I'm thankful to the Lord for today. I'm thankful. It ain't over with. The battle ain't over with. This battle with Harry Reid, what the news media going to do, they're going to keep bringing black people that don't have no honor, don't have any integrity. They're going to say Harry Reid is our boy. He can call us whatever he wants to call us, as long as he keeps the checks rolling. But now, you know, anybody who's not giving us any welfare can't call us Negroes. If you give us welfare, you can call us Negro all you want. You write checks to our Women's Negro League, Concerned with Negro Women, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, Urban League. You write checks, you can call us Negroes. Don't care. We don't care. Money talks. And we don't care what you call us after that. But here's what they say to people that don't write no checks. You don't give us no welfare Don't set up no programs for us. Don't send no money to our organization. You can't call us Negro. If you do, the world will explode. We'll be all over you like white on rice. That's the deal. And that's just how it is. It's unfortunate. My friends, it's very unfortunate. But that's how it is. But I think that one of the things that we want to do is that we want to stop allowing people like CNN and all that crowd of so-called leading Negroes and black people to continue the dialogue and talk about it and tell us how we ought to be conducting ourselves in this present state of being in America. And then finally, Obama's got to go. But he's got to go. He is a Muslim. There's no doubt about it. He's not a Christian. Never has been. And he hates this nation more than you can ever begin to imagine. He's got to go. But again, I'm thankful to the Lord God Almighty for today. My brothers and my sisters, the year 2008 was the worst and darkest year in American history. And let me tell you why. In the year 2008, on November the 4th, the people in America, under a great delusion, voted in America's greatest enemy as her president under a tremendous delusion and an arrogance and failure to hear the truth. They voted in a man who was part of the same conspiracy to knock down the World Trade Center towers, killing nearly 3,000 Americans and maiming a whole lot of others and changing America forever. It was Osama and Obama. On 2008, it was the darkest year of this American enterprise and its history. When Americans went to the polls and put a man in power, gave the IRS, the FBI, the Treasury Department, commander-in-chief powers to a man that hates this nation with a passion deeper than you can ever imagine. It was a dark and a terrible, dismal year for this great land. And now she is suffering, untold suffering. America used the ballot to vote away our Constitution. America used the ballot, put in place one who would destroy our economy, our Judeo-Christian privileges and rights of worship and worship of our God. It was a dark and a dismal year that this took place. America voted in a Muslim to be the president of a Christian nation. It was a craftily put together plan, insidious to the core, using all of the venom that flows through the veins of many of Americans who have been misguided. And now this nation is paying a terrific cost for what it did in 2008. But I want to announce to you that we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. We have one opportunity, I should say. We don't have a lot of them. We don't have options. We don't have choices. We have one opportunity, and that opportunity is the truth. We must bring the truth, and we must bring it and put it on the throne. Take it off of the scaffold and put it on the throne, and it will surely sway our future. Now, when I talk about the truth, when I say the truth, here's what I mean. We must now look and see that it was a racist, hate-filled campaign waged by a slick-talking emissary of hell itself, waged and leveled against a weak, arrogant, spoiled people who had no sense of what this nation stood for and were willing to prostitute it to the first jackleg that came along. That's what took place. That's what must be confronted. I want to say to you, all is not lost. I'm asking you to join with me. I'm asking you to unite with me as a crusader of the truth. I need to tell you that in doing so, we put our lives on the line. The lives of our children and our loved ones all go on the line. We are fighting a beast that will kill to maintain power. We are fighting a beast and an ideology that will destroy innocent people, women and children, in churches and temples at the drop of a hat. I must inform you of that as I call you to this crusade for truth. But we must also recognize that it's better to die in integrity and honesty than to live as slaves in our own nation. It is better that our blood should be shed, that we might have the opportunity at freedom, than to have our hands tied and we live as prisoners in a nation given to us by Almighty God. I'm asking you, join with me in this crusade for truth. Obama must be put on trial for the Muslim God-hater American hater that he is. And we must put on trial all of the haters of America. And there are many white folk that hate America the same way black folk do. All the politicians that allowed this evil permeate our land. We have the power to do it. We are still the majority. We have the power to do it. We must unite now. Make the commitment that you'd rather live free rather than be afraid of death by the tyrants that would want to do this to us. We must stop these institutions and organizations that are supporting this Muslim, this tyrant. It must be stopped. I'm calling on people, wherever you are, to rise up and ask God to give us direction. Oath keepers. And others. We must stand and be willing to die. And some of us might indeed have to taste of death. But we must remember what the Apostle Paul said. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? And we must also be reminded. We ask our young soldiers to die on foreign battlefields to maintain our freedom every day. And we should. But we should also ask our seniors to be willing to die on American soil to maintain, to take back, to risk back our freedom from Obama, from the media, from the politicians, from the Chris Matthews, from the CNNs, from the Glenn Becks. We must take it back, even if it means our death. I'm asking you to stand. I believe that God Almighty has created this moment now on Capitol Hill with the statements of Harry Reid. I believe that God has created this moment that it might be open to us now and that we might see and clearly understand what our next move ought to be. And that is, we must stand and stand now. We must stand black America and white America. And we must unite as one America, one great American people, one voice. Oh, the joy that will flow through this nation as we do so. I'm going to ask you if I can say a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask you to stay with me while I do. I do this work here, but my first call is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that prayer changes things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord, our God, our help and our strength, thou who has been our shelter from the stormy blast, our help in ages past. We come before you now with so many things and yearnings in our heart, so many things that we would want to tell you about, but we recognize that it is the most expedient and sufficient thing to do as to praise you for being God, for being Lord, and for being Savior. Now, Jesus, there are some of us that we now know clearly that you have chosen this land, that you don't hate America, that you've chosen this land and you have not cursed it. Indeed, you have blessed it from sea to shining sea. And I'm asking you, Almighty God, to touch the hearts of those. And we will now look for a word from you. And I'll say to everybody that's listening to me prayer, be not anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. Oftentimes and many times, we are looking for a plan to be put together that will lead us this way or that, while we have the open door, according to Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, where you have set before us now an open door. That Columbia University is an open door. All we need to do is to make up our hearts and our minds that we're going to be willing to suffer whatever we have to suffer, that we might be here during that month of May, that we might be able to bring justice. No one can stop us like they can at the U.S. Supreme Court. The nine justices can put on their black robes and they can deny us, and we have no court to go to. But you, Lord, you and your infinite wisdom, you have opened up the door called Columbia University. You've shown us that this man was in an Al-Qaeda training camp, a full-fledged Muslim, while Columbia University was cloaking for him that he was allegedly a student there, when he was halfway around the world learning how to destroy this land, how to destroy this nation. It is an open door. And I'm asking those who be crusaders of truth. And while we want to keep the boycotts going, keep all the various commitments we have made one towards the other, keep them all going, But we realize now that this door cannot be shut. We're going to call for a massive renewal of love between the races. And I want to say this, Jesus. I love my black brothers. I love them. I live with them and will serve them with everything that's within me. But I also love my white brothers and will live with them and will serve them with everything that's within me. And I believe the day is now and the time has come for us to be as one. As you and the Father are one, Jesus, it's time for America to become one. This test that we now have before us will indeed be our deliverance. And we shall emerge as one great people. And all the joy that would ring across the hills and mountains, the rivers and the valleys and the plains, the towns and the hamlets of this great land called America, when we come together and we stand as one with you as our head and as our leader. I thank you for this privilege today. Thank you that this day has come. And in your name, Jesus, we pray.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshureword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.